Busy city life makes it hard to think about and work at integrating our faith with our lives. Welcome to the Cathedral Podcast, produced and hosted by Jenny Ho Huan. Each episode, we want to help you relate core Christian truths to your daily life. Whether it's science, philosophy, cultural trends, or life stories, we bring you authentic and unrehearsed conversations to spark insight and strengthen your faith and your life.
Hi, this is Jenny again. Welcome to this episode of the Cathedral Podcast. You know, in life, there are times when things really catch us by surprise. And sometimes the things that we come up against are just so immense. They throw our lives off course and we find ourselves just not knowing how to make sense of things. And the whole life ahead of us can feel very uncertain. And so with me this morning is someone special, that a new friend of mine. Her name is Judith Dawn Francis of Württemberg, originally from St. Vincent in the Caribbean, lived in US, Europe, and now living here in Singapore. So welcome, Judith.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Judith, if you don't mind, let me just share a little backstory about you, and then maybe we can talk a bit more.
All right.
So I just got to know Judith recently, and I invited her onto this program because she went through something that, while most of us in Singapore wouldn't have gone through, but we all knew about it because it was in the news, and that was in 2001 in September, on the 11th of September, the whole world watched as the Twin Towers in New York came crashing down, followed by a couple of the other buildings at the World Trade Center. So Judith was there. She was in one of the buildings. She works there. And that experience is so immense and so shattering, as it were. It's hard for us maybe to understand this, but that's what she went through. And I wanted her to come on this program, and we wanted to talk about these life-transforming experiences that sometimes we go through, you know. So, Judith, a little bit about what your life was like when you were working in the Twin Towers, and immediately after that, what happened? I mean, obviously, you can't go back to work, and everything changed.
Everything changed that morning. My life before actually was... was as if a light was being shone on me.
Right, yes.
Which was strange, because for a whole year before, I had started sending uplifting quotes and scriptures to my colleagues daily. Mm-hmm. And I would say pretty much the whole period from February 2001, because I had just gotten the job at Aon Consulting in the World Trade Center. Mm-hmm. And there was a connection formed with pretty much every person that I worked with. Mm. And so I felt this freedom to send quotes. And the days that I didn't, colleagues will come to my office and say, Judith,
have you forgotten something?
Where is the quote for the day?
Or it was doing something.
It was doing something. And I didn't realize it until that first time when somebody came and actually said that to me. And so I continued, and there were a number of things. There was a dream that I had been having since I was about 8 years old.
Okay.
Which, about a week or two after I was offered the job, the dream changed. What I thought was a nightmare was now a dream unfolding. And it was that here was a herd of cows chasing me in the nightmare.
Right.
Mm-hmm. To now, the morning of March, I think it was March 12th or so, it was, oh, it's a dream. And what is this about? Which unfolded on the morning of September 11th.
Right.
Because it was, instead of me being chased, it was me in the stairwell.
It's like a whole herd of people.
A whole herd of people run down traveling the down the stairwell
right,
with me
that morning. It's just that whole sense of stampeding.
Yes.
And
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So for me, immediately before September 11th, it was God unfolding a number of things to me.
The
pressing on my heart to memorize Psalm 91, to make scripture memorization a part of my life. And it started in a clear way with Psalm 91. I had already been doing that in a sense. But after I surrendered my life to Christ in January of 2001, it was pay attention to the things that I'm doing in your life.
Yeah.
So here was this nightmare changing to a dream. Here was me driving into Manhattan with a friend of mine who had the New Testament on the dashboard of his car open to Psalm 91, and I asked him to show it to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was placed on my heart to memorize this scripture, to return home to St. Vincent to understand why the nightmare ended or changed to where I suddenly recognized it, to my office moving from facing west in the World Trade Center to now facing north, where on the morning of September 11th, I was able to see the first plane hit the building.
Yes.
And then...
And you were one of those first people to respond and say, let's just get out of here, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, because I understand that the intercom was on automated mode, telling everybody, stay calm, everything's under control.
Please remain in your offices. We have everything under control.
That's why a lot of people were stuck in the building later. Yes. And when the fire came out there, they had no escape.
Correct.
Except for those of you who started running down.
Correct.
The moment you saw the danger. And you told me that you grew up basically going to an Anglican church, you know.
I grew up in the British Anglican church. You had a
sort of a Christian foundation.
Yes.
But it was 2001 itself, in January, when you had this encounter with God.
Yes.
In your own bedroom.
In my own bedroom.
Yeah, that's so,
It was preparation ground, I think, the whole year before, where January, I think it was January 28th, 2000.
Your memory for dates is amazing.
My husband looks at me, he's like, what is this with the dates and timestamps? But for me, those are significant times.
Yes.
And I came home, it was about 7:30. I'm laying on the Flocati rug in my room, just bawling my eyes out and surrendering my life to Christ.
Wow, it's just the Spirit of God just doing something there, right? I mean, it was not even like you were in church or you were hyped. It was just so...
And it wasn't planned. It was...
Yeah.
I was on my way home. It was raining outside. And I grew up with the belief that rain is a blessing from God. So I just dropped everything, went to the bedroom, and I was on the floor just bawling until about 10:30 at night.
Wow.
And I think just the exhaustion of that, I was able to sleep so deeply and peacefully.
Yes, I've had experiences like that too.
Yeah.
Just crying uncontrollably and then feeling so spent after that.
Yes.
And I've come to understand that those times when somehow the presence of God works in our lives or comes, and then there's some kind of release. Like it's like God's trying to clear something out of our system, right? So that he can come in and almost maybe prepares us for what's to come.
I mean, there was so much being revealed, even saying to... Anyway, that's a different story altogether.
For a different podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the journey, that January, and then really paying attention to God and sharing scriptures with your colleagues, memorizing Psalm 91. Mm-hmm. Hey, would you like to recite your Psalm 91 for us?
Psalm 91.
Putting her to the test here.
King James Version, right?
Yes, the version you memorized. Fine.
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But Judith, it shall not come nigh thee. only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, who is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, no evil will befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands to keep thee from dashing thy feet against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because she had set her love upon me, therefore will I deliver her. I will set her on high, because she had known my name. She shall call upon me, and I will answer her. I will be with her in trouble. I will deliver her. I will honor her. With long life will I satisfy her and show her my salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, just 2 days ago, I was going through my MRI. And it's a really dreadful experience.
Yes.
I unashamedly shared my fear on social media and asked everybody to pray for me. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that sustained me when I was in that tight space for 1 hour was reciting scriptures as well.
Yes.
So thank you for sharing that powerful psalm. Mm. And that's a great psalm for us as the children of God, to know that it's His promise for us as His children. And I think that when as I hear you reciting that psalm, I almost feel the heart of God for us. That's what He longs to. He longs to keep us safe, because we do live in an unsafe world. And we also want to hold this psalm close and long for it for everybody. Yes. You know, that it's great to be God's child, and we want everyone to have this hope to come to know God personally. So, you know, like I just mentioned earlier, even as God loves us, we still live in a broken and fallen world. So I know that the years after the whole event, it was also very trying, because, of course, there is post-traumatic stress And then there were other things you went through. You mentioned undergoing a surgery.
And yes.
Was that not related, though, to this?
It wasn't related to that, but it was having gone through that and having gone through a number of other things, but this was like another major trial of falling in July 27th. 2012, and breaking my neck and not realizing how serious that was. And four months later, even after hiking in the mountains in Italy, in Abruzzo, to come home, I'm sitting in my office and two students are in front of me. And suddenly it was like, oh my God, what is going on? And 2 weeks after that, having major surgery where I thought the surgery was going to be 3 hours, and it turned out to be 7 hours.
Yeah, I'm laying in a very major surgery, man.
Hospital bed, and the surgeon. Mm. I got a phone call from the surgeon, and he said, "My name is Doctor," and I'm not going to mention his name for privacy. "And I am on vacation right now, but I understand my hospital turned you away, but I'm not going to turn you away.
Wow!
Tomorrow, I will be at your bedside." And I will tell you specifically what I'm going to do. So he showed up the Sunday about 4 o'clock, and two friends of mine are sitting in the room, and he's telling me that he's going to remove my cervical spine 5, 6, 5, 6, and 7. And at that point, he didn't say he was going to do replacement. And they looked at each other and looked at me, and then they said, "Doctor, are you going to replace it with anything?"
Yeah.
And he chuckled and he said, "Yes, I will replace it with donated vertebrae." Because at this point it was quadriplegia.
Mm.
Because you're talking about the central nervous system.
Yeah.
So it was either that death or what I am today.
Right.
And even before he said any of that, before the surgery, it was, I can only thank God that finally somebody paid attention. Because even 2 days before, when I went to the hospital, they turned me away with an injection of morphine and Valium, even though I was already on ibuprofen, Flexeril.
Right. Yeah, you already feel
a number of other painkillers.
Oh, my.
And I kept saying, please do something. I'm in extreme pain. This is not about drugs. This is about
something is seriously wrong.
And when he looked at the, he was on vacation, and when he looked at the MRI that was done, he's like, oh my God. Something is wrong here. This woman could end up being a quadriplegic.
So that's a really, really timely intervention by the doctor, isn't it?
And 7 hours later, it's Judith, wake up, Judith. He even called me. He said, you know, your surgery is scheduled for about 2 p.m. But if my staff, my surgical team, if they're too tired, I'm not going to do the procedure. So he did it first thing the following morning.
Right. Looking at you now, I mean, I would never have guessed you went for such a surgery.
And my the incision was right here. When I look at it, there's nothing. There is no mark of it.
Wow. Yeah, I would never have guessed. Yeah. That was the nature of the surgery.
Yes.
To remove and replace.
Spinal replacement surgery.
I've actually never heard that that's possible.
C5, 6 and 7. Wow. It was another miracle of God.
But yet, to be honest, hearing your story, I just feel that I think people listening in, some people can relate because for some of our lives, it's like it never lets up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have issues growing up with our families, and then when you're an adult, you think you've sort of figured it out, and then bam, something like that happens, and then your health, or it's your work, or is it your marriage, or is it your children, and you know, and sometimes so many things come at one time, you know, and if you were to encourage somebody who seems to be going through wave after wave of just difficulty, what would you say to them, Judy?
I actually would prefer to just hold him for a while.
Absolutely.
One of the things that really helped me through this time was just hugs.
Right, yeah.
And I remember the women's ministry director saying to me, you know, I guess God loves you a great deal. I'm like, why?
Oh, no.
And she said, because I don't know a time that you've not been faced with a trial. And I said, yeah, many people would see that as, you know, God, what did I do? Why are you punishing me? And I do not see it as a punishment. I see it as the blessing of God to make us more like his son, Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And one of the scriptures that really helped me through this time, and it was also the importance of memorizing scripture.
Yes.
It was 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange regarding the fiery trial which is to try you, as though something strange happened unto you, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, Judith. And I would attach the Judith, I would attach my
personalize the scripture.
Personalize every scripture. Yes. Because his promises are to us.
Yes.
When his glory is revealed, you will be exceedingly glad. You will be overjoyed that God has his hand on you and is making you more like his son. Why are you grumbling? And it's remembering his word that when I feel like I have been wronged, it's really, you haven't been wronged. He loves you so much. When he gives you his silence, he's giving you a present. When he gives you a trial, he gives you
strength,
the gift of God.
Yes,
he gives you strength.
He gives you himself.
Yes, he gives you himself. His son, he gave his son.
Yeah.
And if he gave his son in such a way, yes. You say you want to be more like him. Yet when he gives you something to be more like him, you grumble.
We are bargaining and fighting it and resisting it. Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that. It's yes, it hurts. There's no question it hurts.
Yes.
Jesus hurt when Mary and Martha questioned him about Lazarus' death. Christ, you came 4 days later. And he wept.
Yes.
So if he's giving us something that we are saying we want.
Yeah.
He will never leave us nor forsake us. That's I think that's my heart.
That is so powerful, Judith, what you just shared. It's really going back to the core of what it means to be a Christian, a child of God.
Yeah.
You carry the name of Christ, and your one life ambition is to become like Christ, is to live out in the fullness of your humanity, your creatureliness, and all of your glory as a person made in the image of God. And
yes,
part of that journey in the fallen world is to drink from that cup of suffering.
Right.
And yet, and yet, God with us, drinking it with us.
Yes.
In the communion.
Yes. Mm. And we can't really think that this one is deserving and this one isn't deserving. I mean, who are we to say that?
There's really no place to compare. It's a futile exercise anyway, isn't it?
Yes.
We just need to look at our own lives and make sure that our hearts are still inclined towards the Lord.
Right.
Yeah, at times like this, I think that, you know, such moments of great weakness, that's about all we can do, just incline our hearts to God.
Yes.
We don't have to have a great show of faith, you know, and yet, God is then with us in the midst of that. You know, in our earlier conversation we had, there was this picture that came to my mind when you shared how everything actually, you know, started happening from 9/11 onwards, and it was like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
What, 8 days? 8 days.
8 days.
8 days. Just 8 days before that, you had made this commitment to God.
Yes, I had written it in my Bible. It was 1:30 in the morning, and I
You
was
said
awakened.
That my life belongs to God, and you know, you were witness for Him. And it's just 8 days, and you know, the picture that comes to me is
eight days earlier.
Yeah, it's this little sapling in the ground just sprouting, and then this fierce like winds and storm just lashing at it, and yet the sapling survived.
Yes,
and it's thriving slowly but surely.
Yeah,
it's growing.
Yes,
and it's blossoming.
Right,
and then when at the right time, I think God will scoop it and pot it somewhere to just showcase His glory. Yeah,
one of my questions to Him during that time was, it wasn't questioning Him. It was. You really believe that I can make it through this? This is too big for me.
Yeah.
And the reply. The reply was, I will never leave you, Judith. You are mine. I allowed you to go through this. And I will take care of you.
Wow.
And it was, if you believe I can go through this, then I guess I can. But I can't leave you. I have to abide in you. I need to abide in you.
Mm.
I was at church 6 days a week.
Yes. I think in seasons when we are really ravaged by the brokenness of the world and what seems like senseless things happening to us, there's definitely a place to hide in the Lord. And I think there is no... there should be no issue with the fact that you may have to come to church a lot and just be immersed in church stuff, because you just need a place of refuge.
I mean, granted,
I think that makes sense. A lot of people actually feel like, oh, am I being too religious if I do that? But I think that would be the wrong response. That would be another lie from the devil to keep you away from God.
Right.
You have to run to God, not run away from Him. Right.
Because, I mean, it took me 18 months to move to California to start over, but... initially, I would leave work. At work, I was functioning as a psychologist, and my colleagues will say, Judith, you went through this too. I'd get home, and I dove into the Bible because my siblings didn't understand. My nephew and nieces couldn't understand. Nobody I was around understood.
Yeah.
And my therapist would say, I got angry. I mean, the stages of grief, right?
Right.
We have to go through those. And my therapist, whom I saw twice a week, would say, Judith, don't expect them to understand. They could never.
They could never,
They could never understand what you go through or are going through. And so you have to forgive them as well.
Yes.
And she, in a sense, was the only person who understood as a therapist.
Mm.
This was new to the world, so even she didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So looking at her face, I would see what I was experiencing in the moment with a panic attack coming on, and her face would just change. And it's like, oh, my God. Yeah. But it was just being in every experience I had. Like right now, I'm having anxiety.
Mm.
It's in my body. It's physiological. So it just comes.
Yeah.
And I breathe. And I close my eyes and I go to a different place.
Mm.
You know, even educating friends when I was in New York at the time and telling them, if this is what is happening to me in the moment, this is what you need to do. Sometimes I'd ask them to inject humor.
Yes.
To take helpful. Me from that place. Or
to sort of disrupt the the trajectory. Yes.
Right.
Wow. Thank you. You know, when I was going through some of my darkest moments, a scripture that spoke to me, and I'd like to share that with you, is from Isaiah 45, verse 3. It says, I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. So I love how you internalize the scripture, personalize them, and we pray for you. As you continue on this journey of healing and recovery. And I think your story helps us all to mature in our understanding that living in the world as we are, sometimes things will happen and they have consequences, they reverberate for a time. But the reality is also, or rather the greater truth is also that God is with us as we go through that, often mitigating the worst of it.
Yes.
And with us as we journey through the healing. And making something fruitful come out of it in spite of all of it. I mean, God never sends suffering. It's part of being in the fallen world. The suffering itself is not redemptive, but when it touches God, who is goodness and love and healing and wholeness and wisdom, then being in the presence of God starts to transform that and our lives change.
Yes.
Thank you so much for this conversation, Judith.
You're
really
welcome.
Appreciate you being here with us. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you for listening in. We hope you've been encouraged with some new thoughts on faith and life integration. You can find us on the Cathedral app, iTunes, Spotify, or at cathedral.org.sg/podcast. Be sure to join us again.